Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today, as always, by my accomplished husband, Miko Alon.
Hi, guys.
Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We have a fabulous show in store for you today. We're going to open up the show talking all about politics and current events, and then we'll be moving on to the new vegan product segment. This week, we are tasting the brand new Ultimate Chicken Filets by Gardein. And then we'll be closing out the show, as always, with vegan animal rights news. Now, before we get started, I just want to encourage everyone, if you would like to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do so on Twitter. I am at VeganAri and Miko is at Miko Alon, or you can use our hashtag VeganAriShow. And remember, if you enjoy our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcasts. And just one last thing. If you wouldn't mind helping us spread the word about the show, we would be ever so grateful for that. We're always trying to get more listeners and subscribers. So whatever you can do, whether it's a post on your social media or you want to retweet one of us, or you want to tell your friends about it, or you want to take out a TV ad or your billboard, whatever you got, no matter how big or how small, we appreciate all of it. So thank you to everyone who has helped us in that effort. And thank you if you are about to help us in that effort. Now, Miko, we were off last week, so there's a lot of ground to cover. Last week was Oscar Sunday, and in Los Angeles, which is where we live, that's like a holiday. So Miko wanted to take the day off and drink champagne and watch the Oscars, and we did that. But then the following day, that Monday, we got our second vaccination shots. I gotta say, so I'm just gonna say this. Miko and I both got Pfizer, and everyone else in my family has already been fully vaccinated. They're all on the East Coast. And none of them had a strong reaction to the second shot. Everyone was like, oh, I just had a little tired. Maybe my arm hurt a little bit, but, you know, I was fine. So I foolishly thought that I was going to be the same. And, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 hours went by and I really didn't have any reaction. My arm wasn't even that sore. And I was like, oh, I'm in the clear. I'm good to go. And then, girl, I woke up at 2 a.m. Oh, my God. I was shaking because I was so cold. I had fever. I had body aches. I had a pounding headache. That second shot took me out. I think I had it worse than you, Miko. How did you do?
I feel like I had a headache and I felt dehydrated more so than from the first shot. But in some ways, I feel like I had a worse reaction to the first shot than you did. I feel like my arm hurt longer. I had a light fever. I definitely fared better the second time around because I didn't have as high a fever as you did.
And I woke up in the middle of the night feeling like a mess. And then the whole next day, I felt like shit. I mean, I was out. Like, I was so lethargic and I didn't have fever. I took my temperature, but I felt chilled all throughout my body. I had, like I said, these awful body aches and the pounding headache. And then I was like, okay. I called a friend who had a bad reaction to the second shot. And they were like, girl, what you need to do is go to sleep at like 6 o'clock and sleep for 12 hours. So we went to bed really early that night. I slept for about 10 hours. And the next day I woke up and I felt great. I felt like nothing had ever happened. It was so weird to have that sort of feeling where you feel like you're getting sick, like you're coming down with the flu, and then the next day you feel totally back to normal. I mean, thank goodness.
I will give this bit of advice. At least this worked for me. I had read and heard from friends that, you know, hydrating a lot really helps reduce the symptoms, and I feel like I drank like 2 Gatorades, and I'm not recommending you do this. I'm just saying, I drank 2 Gatorades and probably 1.5 gallons of water the first day when we got back. And I definitely feel like I didn't have as severe symptoms as you did as a consequence. But yeah, the headache was like, that was the worst of it, I think.
Yeah. For me, it was just like the fever and the body aches. But no, I just, you know, and then I called our doctor because I was Googling, can I take Advil? Can I take Tylenol? And I called the site said, call your doctor and ask. And the doctor was like, no, don't take it. You don't want to blunt your immune response. So I suffered through it with no Tylenol and no Advil. But I will say this, the fact that you have that reaction is a good thing. It shows that your immune system is doing what it's supposed to do. And so I'm glad that, you know, my immune system, you know, I mean, I was joking with my family who had no reaction. I'm like, well, I guess your immune system's like, come on in, spike protein. I got wine. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm glad that's what your body is supposed to do. And I feel very lucky and privileged that we were able to get, you know, the vaccinated. There's lots of places all over the world where that is not possible right now. And I just want to kind of send the message out there that even though you might have a reaction, please get vaccinated. I mean, this is really the way that we are going to get to herd immunity. This is really the way that we're going to vanquish this virus. And so don't be afraid of it. You know, you have every epidemiologist, virologist, you know, people who study vaccines, all of the health professionals are saying that it's safe. And I tweeted out a video today that Vox did about the vaccine that I thought was so good for people who are hesitant or on the fence. But yeah, please go get it. It's free. And, you know, and then you're protected.
Just hydrate yourself.
Hydrate yourself and just give yourself, just know that you got to give yourself like possibly a day or two or three after, you know, the shot, most likely the second shot, that you're going to be not feeling so great. So I don't know if you want to like take off work or whatever, but or do it over a weekend or something like that.
But I feel like it was the day after was like a little rough. The second day was already, I felt like, pretty much back to normal. So
the second day.
Yeah.
Well, not for me. For me, it was more the, well, whatever. Anyway, point is, we're very lucky in this country where, you know, we have enough vaccines for everybody. Just get a shot. Okay. Miko, let's move on and talk about some stuff that's been going on the last couple weeks. For me, I think the biggest story was Biden's address to Congress a few days ago. This is, you know, following his first 100 days in office. I know that there was stuff that you wanted to talk about specifically, so I'm going to turn this over to you for a couple minutes so you can just mention some of the things that, you know, he sees for his vision of America. And then you had some quotes that you wanted to read off.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Republican Party has a real problem. They are trying to constantly demonize, you know, the Biden administration as some kind of far left, you know, radical collective. And what we saw in the speech, I think 85% of the people listening to the speech approved of it. And why wouldn't they? Because this is what the administration is basically highlighting as their plans. There's first the American Jobs Plan, which would upgrade our transportation infrastructure and power grid, replace all lead pipes in the United States, and grant broadband access to all Americans, including, I didn't know this, but 35% of rural Americans don't have broadband. Did you know that? Also in there are 500,000 charging stations along our highways to make the nation ready for the era of electric cars. He mentioned the PRO Act, yeah, supporting the right to unionize in the United States, called for a federal $15 minimum wage, Paycheck Fairness Act, equal pay for women, and then the American Families Plan, which would add to public education, give people 2 years of free community college, lower childcare costs, paid family and medical leave, expanded tax credits. And then where I think Republicans really started shaking was when Biden said he would basically raise taxes on households making over $400,000. But when he says raise taxes, he would basically take it back to 39.6%, which is what it was when George W. Bush was president. Now, how could any sane American be against the things that are proposed here? Improving our infrastructure, our power grid, education, childcare, making life in general more affordable for people. But I think that the three quotes that really stood out for me that I think presidents have never said before, that I'm sure had Republicans shaking their boots. First of all, Joe Biden boldly said, trickle-down economics has never worked.
I mean, it's the truth.
And this is the right-wing's mantra bullshit that's been going on since the Reagan era. It's time to say that. You know, rich people hoard their fucking money. They don't invest it in anything. We see that same thing with corporations. He also said, we won't ignore what our own intelligence agencies have determined, that the most lethal terrorist threat to our homeland today is white supremacist terrorism.
Also the truth.
Yeah. And he said, I call on Congress to get to my desk the Equality Act to protect the rights of LGBTQ Americans and to all the transgender Americans watching at home, especially young people who are so brave. I want you to know that your president has your back.
Yeah, I thought that was really a wonderful moment during the speech when he was speaking directly to, you know, trans Americans who have been targeted for so much hatred by the Republican Party. And I think that, you know, what you said, what sane American would be against these policies? Well, when you're looking at numbers like 85% of people watching approved, not many. And I think that who in America is going to argue with people making over $400,000 paying a little bit more? Who's going to argue with what he said about corporations paying their fair share? You know, I mean, this is stuff that's going to help everyday Americans when you talk about expanding education, when you talk about creating more jobs. And I think that the Republicans are having a very difficult time criticizing the Biden administration, which is why you see them turning to lies, literally just lies. I mean, over the last couple of weeks, we've had conservatives and people in conservative media talking about Fox News and others saying that Biden is going to limit the amount of hamburgers that Americans can eat, which was a flat out lie. You had another one where they were saying that Kamala Harris was giving her book out to migrants at our border. Another fucking lie that they had to walk back. And when America is facing, and by the way, if Biden was coming for our hamburgers, I would actually think I would be very for that, considering that meat is one of the number one causes of climate change. So let me just say, he's not coming for your hamburgers, but I wish he was. Okay. But when America is facing so many problems, from homelessness to climate change to, you know, the pandemic to, you know, so many fucking problems, and your main focus right now in the Republican Party seems to be trying to make sure that people who are trans are denied medical treatment. How the fuck, like, it's like you have no ideas for this country. You only peddle in fear, in bigotry, and in hatred. And now, you know, you're also peddling in lies against the administration, because let's be real, all these ideas that Biden is putting forward are ideas that are supported by a majority of people in this country.
Right, that's the thing. The ideas are incredibly popular. And what's so tragic is that the low information imbeciles that make up the dwindling Republican base, because we should remember that when we talk about Republican America, that's 25% of Americans. So when people say 50% of Republicans believe X, that means about 12.5% of America believes that. But that just shows you, I was looking at statistics earlier today on how in just since this past election, the Republican Party has lost another 5%. It went from 30 to 25% of Americans identify as Republicans. So they are losing, which is why we're seeing this concerted effort. You mentioned these bills targeting trans youth and trans youth in sports. I saw, I think it was the governor of West Virginia was on CNN being grilled about, like, why did you sign this bill? Can you cite one single example where a trans child has been the subject of, like, some sort of you know, unfair advantage? And he was like, no. And the Republicans have actually, in state legislatures, introduced this year alone over 250 anti-LGBTQ bills. So it just shows you that they're trying to fearmonger with their usual bullshit. They've also introduced 361 voter suppression bills. This party has no ideas. They have nothing to offer America. So they're trying to, because they make up such a small percentage, now basically make it impossible for people to vote. It is just ridiculous and obscene. And I wish that our media would stop pretending that this is like the Republican Party of old. Like this is Eisenhower's Republican Party with just a few extremists. No, this is an extremist right-wing party. And for some reason, we still have the Susan Collinses and the Mitt Romneys enabling it. And we're supposed to laud them as some sort of great heroes and moderates. It's like, no, if you belong to the Republican Party, you belong to today's Nazi Party. The end, period, end of discussion.
Well, I think that the Republican Party has certainly moved very far to the right. I would definitely consider it a fascist party when you're actively trying to shut down democracy. I mean, we saw what happened when a majority of congressmen and women voted to overturn the election on January 6th. We saw what happened. We still have people like Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz. I mean, I'm just saying, like, these people, to me, are becoming really the Republican Party. And when we have so many issues facing I couldn't believe when I was watching Biden's speech and he said that when passing the American, was it, is it called the American Recovery Plan or Act? But basically, you know, the second stimulus that they passed, you know, after to help people out because of the pandemic, he said that this will cut childhood poverty by 50%. And no Republican was clapping for that. And I was like, oh, so you guys are for childhood poverty? I mean, like, it's just crazy to me that it's become, it's not even become how do we help Americans? Yes, we might think differently ideologically, but how do we get together? How do we come? It's not about that anymore. It's just about like hatred of liberals, hatred of Democrats. And like I said, bigotry, fear mongering. I mean, how are any of these anti-trans bills actually helping America? They're not. They're not. It's just pandering to a very hateful base, and it's scapegoating, and it's very, very sad when you're doing that with a community that already is targeted for so much violence and brutality and murder. You know, we were going to talk about this at the end of the segment, but we're getting there, I guess. We watched this amazing interview that Oprah Winfrey, she has this series now on Apple TV called The Oprah Conversation, and this week she sat down with Elliot Page, who now, you know, came out as trans. I guess that was about a month ago or so. And I really think if you want to understand the threat that trans Americans are facing from the Republican Party, Elliot Page lays it out really well. And it's really sad because he talks about how a lot of these bills are specifically targeting trans youth. And to me, it's just so heartbreaking, you know, especially as a member of the LGBTQ plus community, to think about, you know, growing up trans, that has to be, you know, a very difficult thing for a lot of people. You know, it can be confusing. You know, obviously, there's not a lot of representation out there. Your parents might not know anything about trans people or trans issues. I mean, there was a staggering statistic in this interview that 80% of Americans don't even know a trans person. So if you don't even know a trans person, you know, you might have no idea. And if your ideas about trans people are being formed by, you know, the media or by, especially if you're Republican, you're going to believe some really fucked up things about trans people. And so then you think on top of that, you have these adults, these politicians targeting those people. You know, for hateful legislation, for discriminatory legislation. It's just devastating. And how is that helping anybody? How is that helping to make America, you know, more equal or fair or kind or compassionate? It's not. It's just very sad. So anyway, I would recommend it if you have Apple TV. Like I said, it's called The Oprah Conversation, and it's the one that she did with Elliot Page. It's really, really good. What did you think of it?
No, I thought it was very moving and heartfelt. And I do love that Elliot so, you know, candidly and openly called out the Republican Party for this, because I think that if people think of themselves as allies to LGBTQ people and vote Republican, you should know that you're doing harm. Voting Republican is an active act of harm.
And I think also, you know, especially those of us, well, not necessarily. I mean, I was going to say those of us in the LGBTQ plus community. But if you consider yourself an ally and you want to learn about trans issues, listen to trans people. You know, I mean, that's the thing, is that like very rarely when you see these issues being spoken about on the news, do they actually have a trans person there to speak from experience? You know, I remember a few years ago, I was really interested in learning more. And what I did was I found books written by trans people. You know, I read Janet Mock's book, Redefining Realness. I read another book that was written by a trans man called Some Assembly Required. And you know, you have to listen to people, you know, to try and understand. You have to listen to people. Don't listen to these fucking, you know, what is some fucking, you know, cisgender Republican man going to know about trans issues or going to care? No, listen to what trans people are actually saying, what their lived experience is. And so it's just, Yeah. Anyway, I really feel like, once again, our community is under attack because the Republican Party, that's what they do. They have no fucking ideas for this country, so that's what they do. They peddle in this hatred and this bigotry, and it's really just a shame. But I want to just go back to Biden's speech, because I really do think that a lot of the stuff that he said, to me, made a lot of sense. And I was, you know, thrilled that he has such a bold vision. I think that he has moved a little bit more progressive than I think what people thought he was going to be. You know, he's definitely a centrist, but I think that you can tell that he's listening to the party and that he really wants and understands that there needs to be some bold change for this country to move forward.
Isn't it amazing? I saw Texas Senator John Cornyn tried to criticize Biden by invoking FDR, and said, literally, this was what he tweeted. It said, oh, this guy is trying to be like FDR, when basically liberalism was used to lift the country out of despair. So now we're against lifting the country out of despair. That's the new Republican talking point. And what I agree with you. I think he has been a really incredible progressive president in his first 100 days. But listen in the speech, too. He repeatedly says he wants to work with Republicans. And he said, if you have different ideas, if you have better ideas, bring them to me. Let's debate them. So he's constantly trying to be, work in a bipartisan fashion. And instead, just like we saw with President Obama, the right-wing extremist Republicans basically spit in his face. They keep howling on Twitter because they don't do any actual work about far-left extremist agenda, which, as we just heard, is basically just sane policy for ordinary Americans. But that's all they have left to sell.
Yeah. So I hope that look, if Joe Biden is able to get half of what he talked about the other night done, that would be a huge accomplishment. And I do think that some of the comparisons to FDR are apt, you know, especially when he's talking about his infrastructure plan and rebuilding America. I think it's long overdue.
Yeah. And you think about the, you know, all the ideas about modernizing our transportation, power grid, all the green jobs. Did you know that 90% of those jobs don't require a college degree? Like, this is really aimed at also giving, what did he call it? It was like a blueprint for blue-collar America.
Yeah, yeah. I think, look, a lot of what he said, I was like, you know what? This is exactly right. We do need a bold vision for this country, for the 21st century. And to me, that was it. That was a lot of it. I mean, I wish that the climate change initiatives were stronger. I do. But I think that we got to start somewhere. And when you're dealing with, you know, the other party that doesn't even believe climate change is real. Yeah. You know, like I said, I wish he was coming for your hamburgers, but he's not.
I want to talk about one final controversy this week that Joe Biden was embroiled in on the right, which is the fact that he picked a dandelion and gave it to Jill Biden.
How is this controversial? I thought this was very sweet.
Of course it's sweet, but I bring this up because I think that the Republican soul is so devoid of love, they don't even recognize it when they see it. They're like, what is this? It's called love.
Yeah,
try maybe try to find some love in your life so you're not so poisoned with hate and bitterness that you are just a hate-mongering piece of shit. How about that?
I thought it was very sweet. They were like walking on the lawn somewhere, I guess outside the White House, and he bent over to pick up a dandelion and handed it to her. And it was like a moment of, you know, it was a moment of affection. It was very sweet. It was very, you know, it was very pure. I thought it was, I mean, and then, you know, I saw when the speech happened to Congress, you saw Kamala's husband, our second gentleman, Doug, like blowing her kisses. He was like, you can tell that like her husband is her biggest fucking fan. And I was so here for it. I was like, you know, somebody wrote on social media that they couldn't have picked a better man to be the first, you know, like second gentleman because of how amazing he's been and supportive he's been and how, you know, there's been a lot of people specifically on the right, you know, saying how emasculating it must be that, like, you know, your wife is the one who's the vice president. And it's just like, grow the fuck up. Like, how fucking misogynistic are you? He's proud of her. He loves her. And it's so beautiful to see him being so supportive of her and not being that way. And I just thought, like, you know, watching Joe Biden and Dr. Jill Biden and watching Kamala Harris and her husband, I mean, it's just nice to see, like you said, love back in the White House. And let me tell you, like, it's none of my business and whatever, but I can tell that these couples are definitely still doing it. Okay? Like, definitely. I mean, and it's a beautiful thing. I mean, I say go for it. I'm all about that. And I think it's wonderful. I can't imagine how anybody could criticize Joe Biden for handing his wife a flower. I mean, how dead is your soul that, like, that's where you go? But anyway. All right, Miko. Well, we've covered a lot in this opening segment. What do you say we move on and taste some new vegan products?
Let's do it.
All right. Yay, new vegan products. Okay. So today we are tasting a new product by Gardein. This is part of their Ultimate line, and this is the Ultimate Chicken Fillets. Now, if you'll remember, a couple weeks ago, we tried their new Ultimate Burger, and it was very good. And so we wanted to try their new chicken products. So Miko, first of all, tell us how you prepare this.
So you basically just do this in the oven, about 25 minutes, flipping midway.
Okay, and you can find this in the frozen section?
That's right. Okay. And each packet comes with three chicken things.
Very good. Now, this looks like almost like a thick chicken patty that you would put in a sandwich or something. It's got a nice coating on the outside. Let's try it, Miko. Mm. All right.
Okay, hold on.
Ooh. Yes.
I have to say, this is, to date, the best product Gardein has made.
Oh, you think
so?
Oh,
my God.
Oh, I'm still partial to the Gardein fishless filet, but this is really fucking good. I mean, this is definitely an improvement on their previous chicken products. It's thicker. First of all, the patty, it's not like pounded thin like their other chicken products. The texture is perfect. And this actually reminds me of, if you have a veggie grill, which is a vegan fast food chain, if you have a veggie grill in your neck of the woods and you've ever ordered their, like, I think it was called the Santa Fe chicken. Is that the one that I'm thinking of? One of their sandwiches has a crispy chicken patty in it. And this is exactly that patty. This has to be that.
I love everything about this. I think that, as you said, I don't think there's, frankly, for me, going back to the old ones. I love the texture of this. I think it's better than the existing Gardein chicken tenders. And the breading is thick. This literally, like, it's the perfect, like, chicken sandwich ingredient. I cannot wait to make this into, like, a buffalo chicken patty.
I mean, you could also cook this up, slice it up, and put it in a salad or a pasta, too. I mean, it'd be great like that. But I think this is perfect for making a chicken sandwich. With a little bit of, like, you know, lettuce, tomato, and tartar sauce. I still think that in terms of the Gardein line, that the fishless filet is the premier product, but I will say this is quite impressive.
I want to just clarify something. I have always loved Gardein's chicken products.
Yes.
But there's something about the texture of this that to me feels like, you know how when we transitioned from the old-fashioned veggie burger to the Beyond Burger, the Impossible Burger, like the texture evolution. I feel like this is the same thing for chicken. This is just incredible.
Very good. Yeah. I mean, this is obviously an A+ product, and I'm so happy they're doing it. Again, this is the Gardein Ultimate Chicken Fillets. Just hit supermarket shelves. You can find it in the frozen section.
And you said they also make a tender from the same.
This Ultimate line, they have the burger. They have three chicken products. They have tenders, they have the fillets, and then they have, there's a third
like a,
one.
Like a little style, popcorn. Like,
yeah, like a little like ball, like a chicken ball. And I believe they're also doing sausages under this label, although I haven't seen it yet. So I would highly recommend it. Like I said, A+ product. Miko, you agree?
I agree. And this is so far my favorite new vegan product of 2021.
Well, that's saying a lot. All right, Miko. What do you say we move on and do some vegan animal rights news?
Let's do it.
All right. Boomer has it. Okay, everybody, it is time for vegan animal rights news. First story. Hawaii is set to become the sixth state to end cosmetic animal testing.
Bravo.
Yes. It still has to be signed by the governor, but he has indicated that he will sign it. I think this is great. I know we've been covering the state bans. It seems like in the last couple months, there's been quite a few. Again, I really wish this was a nationwide thing, but good for Hawaii and the other states that have banned cosmetic animal testing. There is no excuse for it. Okay, next story. Epicurious is in the news. Did you see this story? So Epicurious is a major media site that gives out recipes and whatever. It's owned by Condé Nast, which is a huge media empire. They announced they are no longer going to promote any recipes that have beef in them.
I saw this, and I think this is bold and visionary, and we need more of this.
I agree. I think this was really great, and they're doing this out of environmental concerns. I will say, though, that my one concern about this is that in terms of animal welfare, animal suffering, if this means that they're promoting more recipes that have chicken or fish, that could be bad. It takes a lot more chickens and a lot more fish to feed people than cows. Now, I'm not saying people should eat cows. I don't think people should eat any animals. But I'm just saying, from an animal welfare standard, I hope that this doesn't mean that there's going to be more recipes featuring smaller animals, because sadly, it creates more suffering, in my opinion. But I do think that this is a step in the right direction, and I love that they are highlighting how bad meat is for the environment. It truly is. Okay, next story. In celebrity news, Nikki Reed, one of the stars of the Twilight series, she is announcing a new vegan sneaker line in collaboration with a company called Loki.
That's wonderful.
Miko, I bring this up because you're friendly with Nikki Reed's dad.
Yes.
Seth Reed, right?
Yes.
Okay, and tell everybody how you know Seth Reed.
So Seth Reed was the production designer for my show, The Long Road Home.
Very cool. And do you know Nikki? Have you ever met her?
I've met Nikki. I don't know her, but I've met her.
Cool. Well, I've heard over the years, off and on, she's vegan, she's not vegan, whatever. But I give her props for doing a vegan sneaker line. I love it.
Yeah.
And the sneakers are really cute, too. So call Seth and get us some.
I will do that. I should mention, too, Seth also designed The Expanse and Supergirl. Like, he's a fantastic production designer.
He's great. All right, next story. Also in celebrity news, Leonardo DiCaprio has joined the advisory board for Perfect Day. Now, Perfect Day is the company that provides the dairy-identical milk, but it's vegan, for the... It's not Bad Robot. What's Bad Robot is the production company. What's the ice cream that we had? Brave Robot.
Yes.
Brave Robot?
Brave Robot.
Okay, so Perfect Day provides the milk for Brave Robot, and then Brave Robot is the ice cream company. And this is the stuff that we tried on the podcast a couple weeks ago. It's dairy identical vegan milk. They're actually able to synthesize dairy using yeast, and I don't know how they do it. It's some sort of science thing. But Leonardo DiCaprio is joining the board of Perfect Day.
I love it. I think that you should be on the advisory board of vegan ice cream companies.
Well, I'm available for tasting. But I love that over the years, Leonardo DiCaprio has been very supportive of plant-based endeavors, vegan endeavors. I know he's an investor in Beyond Meat. I believe he was one of the investors in Hippies. So it doesn't surprise me to see him doing this. He's a huge environmentalist. Thank you, Leo. We love you. And you're the king of the world. Okay, next story. Okay, vegan athlete Robbie Ballinger set a new record when he ran a total of 16 loops around Central Park, totaling 100 miles. And he did this in just over 18 hours.
Wow.
Girl, I run, okay? And I run about 4 miles. And I'm like, that's it. I mean, 100 miles?
I need to ice my knee after that.
I mean, is he running for 18 hours straight? How do you do that? How doesn't your body revolt? Girl, I'd have to, if this was it, I'd have to be like, I don't know, thrown into a bathtub full of ice afterwards. I mean, I've gotten to that. I mean, truth be told, I am, you know, a man of a certain age. And after my run, I do have to ice one of my knees because, you know, It's gotten to that point. But anyway, good for him. I think this is, you know, and I think it's great that, you know, again, I mean, he's showing that you can be vegan and do this sort of stuff. I think it's great. I did say in the beginning that he's vegan, right?
I believe.
Good.
Yes.
Okay. Just to make sure else people are like, why is Vegan Ari talking about this? Because he's a vegan. Okay. Next story. Also in New York City, there are 20 bodegas that are going to be getting vegan food fridges and plant-based deli options. And this is thanks to a new project called Plantega.
Oh.
I think this is really cool. So Plantega is partnering with a number of brands, including Eat Just, Miyoko's, Good Catch, Tofurky, Follow Your Heart. They're partnering with Ben & Jerry's. And they're doing this to stock these bodegas with vegan items. I think this is really cool. You know, anyone who's lived in New York City knows that you do a lot of shopping at these smaller markets. That's what bodegas are. In case you've never been to New York, you don't know. A bodega is like a little market. Bodegas, sometimes they're called delis. And, you know, they're not, you know, you can pick up a lot of items there, you know, this and that, in case, you know, because big supermarkets in New York, it's getting a little bit better. But when I lived there, there was like nothing. They were very few and far between. So you do a lot of shopping at these places. And I think it's awesome that this project, Plantega, is helping them stock their shelves with vegan items.
I think it's very cool.
All right. Also in New York City news, also another New York City story. Nathan's Famous, the hot dog restaurant, they are finally introducing a vegan hot dog.
Yay.
Now, this is the iconic Nathan's of Coney Island. I can't believe it's taken this long. They are, but it's great that they're doing this. The hot dog that they're going to be introducing is made by the Meatless Farm. We've tried their stuff on the show. You can find them in Whole Foods. And this is really cool. I think, and I just have to bring up because Coney Island plays a little bit of history in my family. I will have you know that my grandmother, she won the best legs in Coney Island when she was, I don't know, 18 years old maybe, but she tells the story all the time how she won the leg contest in Coney Island. She will tell you about it. She will tell you how gorgeous she was. She will.
I've seen photos. I've heard that very phrase. Look how gorgeous I look.
Yes, she'll tell you all the time. And she talks about Nathan. She talks about getting hot dogs from Nathan. She talks about riding the Cyclone, which was the big roller coaster. And it, to me, it's really cool that, you know, that so much of Coney Island is, you know, there's a lot that's gone from those days. I'm talking about the 1940s, which is when, you know, she won the leg contest. But a lot of it's still there. And when I lived in New York, I rode the same roller coaster as her. And, you know, I got to see. So it's kind of cool. So, Grandma, if you're listening, now you can go to Nathan's and get a vegan hot dog with your sexy legs.
I want to try that when we're in New York next.
And by the way, my grandmother just turned 91. She's amazing. Okay. Next story. The Beyond Burger is launching yet another incarnation.
Really?
This is going to be launching tomorrow. It is a new and improved Beyond Burger. It's going to have 35% less saturated fat and overall fat than an 80-20 beef patty. It's also going to be fortified with B vitamins, such as B12, which is really good for vegans. And it's going to be available in a 2-pack or a 4-pack.
Do you think we should taste this with the old version side by side when we try this on the show?
I'd love to try it. I don't know if it looks like they're just going to be moving over to this new version, like they won't have the old version. So I'd like to see if there's a difference in flavor. I love the Beyond Burger. Miko and I eat Beyond Burgers like once a week. We do like a burger night, and this is the one that we do. I love their stuff. So yeah, we should. And I don't know. It looks like the packaging, hopefully we can tell the difference in terms of the packaging, and we'll just try it. Okay, next story. Also, with regards to Beyond Meat, there was a new report in Bloomberg, saying that Beyond Meat is set to launch a new vegan chicken product this summer.
Mmm.
Thank goodness. I don't know why. Beyond Meat used to sell chicken.
It was so good.
And it was delicious. And then they pulled it because they said they were, you know, reformulating it or whatever. And then they did those partnerships with Kentucky Fried Chicken where they did. And so now there's like, I don't know how solid this report is or if it's just a rumor, that they are going to be introducing a new retail product this summer that'll be a vegan chicken product.
I would love it if they did like a vegan chicken breast.
Yeah. I mean, I like Beyond Meat's chicken, like you said, the old version was great. I can only imagine that this is going to be, you know, so much better. I mean, when you consider how the evolution of Beyond Meat over the years with the sausages and the Beyond Burger, and I mean, they've really upped their game over and over again. So I'm excited to see what they do with this. And as soon as it comes out, we'll grab it and taste it on the show. So hopefully this is a rumor that will come true. Okay, next story. Walmart is going to be launching new vegan marshmallows.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a company called Yamalo. Yamalo? Okay, Yamalo. Now, for those who don't know, marshmallows, like traditional marshmallows, are usually made with gelatin. And gelatin is definitely an animal product. It's made, it's disgusting, but it's made from ground up animal bones and ligaments, and it's just disgusting. If you want to Google gelatin and you'll throw up. So, vegan marshmallows are made without gelatin, and there are a couple brands that do them. The one that I know the most is Dandy's, and they're pretty widely available, but now there's this Yamalo brand, and it'll be available at Walmart, so I think that's great.
I also think that if there is one company, peeps, if you're listening, make your product line vegan.
Yeah, I have a couple requests. Peeps should be vegan, but also, why can't we get vegan candy corn? Why? Like, this is such a heartbreaking thing for me. And you know, that's not to say that Miko and I have ventured into candy making, and we have made vegan candy corn.
It's very good.
I always want candy corn around Halloween, and they're really, really good, but I really miss that, you know, the Brock's candy corn that I used to get, and I haven't had them. I mean, we've been vegan for, I mean, this is our, what, 14th year? I haven't had that shit in years, 14 years. So anyway, if you're listening, peeps and candy corn. And I know that both of those products are kind of controversial. People hate peeps. They hate candy corn. And I happen to love both. So whatever. Okay. Next story. Just Egg or Eat Just or Hampton Creek or whatever you want to call them right now. They are set to launch in Europe by the end of the year. They're going to be releasing the egg product in Europe.
Great.
I think this is awesome. Miko, I always say you eat this all the time.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
It's a great product, and I hope that they do this. I think that they are launching, they're looking to launch in certain countries in Asia as well. So I love that they're expanding, and I love that they're taking, you know, chicken eggs off of shelves. Okay. And finally, my last story and a little bit of local news. The posh town of Beverly Hills is getting yet another vegan French bakery.
Really?
This is going to be called Chaumont Vegan, and it's going to be specializing in French pâtisseries. I think that's great.
I think that sounds lovely.
Now... Oh my God,
that's
Miko.
My accent. Good.
Yes. Well, okay. Now, I think it's still open, but Beverly Hills, a couple years ago, there was a restaurant called Le Dory that was oh la la, mon Dieu, that. Oh my God, French people listening are like, fuck all of y'all. Okay, but that was another French pastry place and like a coffee house that. I guess it started in Paris, and the one that opened in Beverly Hills was all vegan. And Miko and I went there, and it was incredible. Incredible. All those French pastries that you see, like the mifoy and the, you know, hazelnut things and the chocolate croissants, and all of that was vegan. It was so delicious. And the place was really cute too, like the decor and whatever. And so they have, I hope it's still open. I don't know because I haven't been outside of my house in a year. But so they had Loterie. And now they have Chaumont Vegan. Miko.
Parfait.
Once we're fully vaccinated, should we venture out?
We most certainly should.
All right. I'm excited for it. So if you're, you know, in Southern California or you're planning a trip here and you find yourself in Beverly Hills, check it out. I think that sounds great. All right, Miko. With that, we have come to the end of yet another show.
Well, that flew by.
Did you miss doing the show last week?
Well, it was Oscar Sunday, so I didn't miss it on Sunday, but it's great to be back.
It's great to be back. So thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We love doing the show, and we love you guys. If you want to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do so on Twitter. Again, I am at VeganAri. Miko is at Miko Alon. Or you can always use our hashtag, VeganAriShow. And remember, if you enjoy our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcasts. And just one more thing. If you would help us spread the word about the show, we would be so grateful for that. So whatever you can do, if you want to retweet one of us, if you want to do your own social media post, if you just want to tell your friends about it, or maybe post in a Facebook group that you're a part of, whatever you can do, no matter how big or how small, it all counts, and we appreciate all of it. So thank you to everyone who has already helped us in that effort. Thank you if you are about to help us in that effort. And if we don't hear from you this week, we will chat with you next weekend. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.